In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Matthew 25, Jesus presents a picture of the Day of Judgment. People are separated as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. The sheep on Jesus' right hand are ushered into everlasting life, and Jesus gives a list of their accomplishments, much to their surprise. The goats on Jesus' left are ushered into fire and everlasting torment prepared for the devil and his angels. And as much as the sheep are surprised to hear of what they have done, the goats are shocked to hear of what they didn't do. From there, people get all kinds of ideas as regards what the text means. They all usually focus on the works of the sheep versus the non-works of the goats, and assume that he is here teaching that his followers should be in works of service to others, feeding, clothing, visiting, and caring for them as befits their needs. These are all fine works given to you by God that you may be in service to others. But Jesus also said in Matthew 25, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." So now the idea becomes that doing these works of service are done to Jesus, that the person receiving the benefit of this of your work is little more than someone in your way of your getting to Jesus. What it can also mean then is that these works of service toward others are only worth doing if they are done to someone who is Christ-like, who bears the name Christ, a Christian, and you could say a Christian like you. This interpretation of Matthew 25 is completely counter to the text and supporting texts. Those of you who know me well, that I often teach this text with support from Matthew 10, in which Jesus prepared to send his disciples out, telling them to take no provisions, that those who receive them will take care of them. In other words, they will be fed, clothed, visited, and cared for by those who receive them. After all, Jesus elsewhere said, "He who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So when Jesus said in Matthew 25, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me," he is saying the same thing. No one says such a thing of just any other person, but it is said of those who represent them. When a representative is received and cared for, it is as if the person who is being represented is received and cared for. Regardless, the text in Matthew 25 is not about service to neighbor, but about the Day of Judgment. There will be more time to delve into that text in several weeks. No, if you want to hear Jesus teach you about works of service to neighbor, there is today's text. Sadly, this text is often misinterpreted in as askew a fashion as is the text from Matthew 25. In today's text, Jesus told the story of a certain man, a Jew, beset upon by thieves who rob him, strip him, beat him, and leave him to die in the ditch along the side of the road. Other travelers happen upon him lying in the ditch, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The priest and Levite, fellow Jews, pass around the man on the other side of the road. They had good reason to do so, according to the law. The man in his current condition is unclean, and had they helped him, they would have been unclean too. The Samaritan, however, had compassion on the man, bound his wounds, placed him on his own animal, brought him to an inn to recover, and gave the innkeeper all that he would need to care for the injured man, promising more if what was left was not good enough. Where do the interpretations go wrong? "The Samaritan is Jesus," they say, leaving no room for anything else, even if the text indicates otherwise. The Samaritan is Jesus because his compassion causes him not to be concerned about cleanness. He ate with sinners and tax collectors, after all. Furthermore, just as Jesus healed the world of the injury known as sin, so the Samaritan healed the man of his own resources. The Samaritan brought the man to the inn. Jesus brings sinners to the church. The Samaritan directed the innkeeper to care for the man. Jesus instructs pastors to care for his sheep. The Samaritan provided all the innkeeper needed to care for the man. The sufficiency for your care from the pastor lies solely and completely in Christ your Lord. This, they say, is all that the parable means. But that ignores the rest of the text. A certain lawyer prompted Jesus to tell the parable. This lawyer was not a courtroom counselor, but an expert in the law of God. If you had a question about what God's law said or demanded of you, or the minute details of the law, you consulted a lawyer. So for him to ask Jesus what the law says, what the detail of the law means, can only mean that he intended to test Jesus and catch him in a trap. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And who is my neighbor? The lawyer was going to prove his righteousness by demonstrating his love for his neighbor. But only the man who was worthy of his love was his neighbor. Ah, you see, works of service only matter if the neighbor is one who can be loved. Works of service can only be tolerated if the neighbor is one who can be loved. One who can be loved is such a subjective phrase. If I love you, at least in this moment, then I'll be more inclined to care for you and be charitable toward you. That's how many misinterpret the Matthew 25 text. That's how the lawyer thought. It is wrong. After telling the parable, Jesus turns to the lawyer and asks, "So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" Despite what he wanted to believe, the lawyer is confronted with the truth. The priest and the Levite couldn't be bothered to be neighborly to the unclean man. The risk was too great in their minds. The work of service to him could not be tolerated. It was the one least expected to be a neighbor to the unclean man who was. A rival Samaritan. So the lawyer answered, "He who showed mercy on him." I wonder if the lawyer just couldn't bring himself to say the word Samaritan. Nevertheless, he knew who the neighbor was. Go and do likewise. There is where you find difficulty. It's a fallen human frailty. No one wants to go out of their way to help someone they think is not deserving of their help. The lawyer was looking for confirmation of his bias. Instead, he receives the opposite, but acknowledges his lesson. The command he receives is directed toward you, too. Have mercy on those who need mercy. Show grace to those in need of grace. Help the helpless. Do not regard their station in life or their relationship to you, should they be a friend or an enemy. You are not doing this to Jesus, but you are doing it because of him. As much as the Matthew 25 text is teaching about the day of judgment, today's text is teaching you that your neighbor is anyone whom you meet for whom you can do one of the good works prepared in advance for you to walk in. Then that's where the desired interpretation of today's text that I ran through earlier comes in. Jesus is very much like the Samaritan in the parable that he tells. His telling of the parable in that way is no accident. He certainly intended for you to see a type of Christ in the Samaritan. And it is for the very reasons mentioned in the earlier interpretation. Jesus is the one who stooped down into the ditch of your humanity, taking on flesh and blood like yours. By his work, your wounds are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. Jesus has done the work to bring you into the inn of the church, wherein he gives you all that you need in order to come to the fullness of life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. This was accomplished for you on the tree of the cross, whereat Jesus shed his blood for your propitiation. You are covered in the blood of Christ, your Savior and Redeemer. This was applied to you each personally in your hearing of the word and receiving of holy baptism. There, in those means, you were washed and sanctified, given new life, much as the man in the parable was restored to life by the work of the Samaritan and the inn. And Jesus gives you all abundantly from himself, body and blood, word and work, so that you may have that abundant life. A life which is yours because you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.